Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, speaker. I've written four books, the first From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. I talk about how I survived 17 out of the 19 years of marriage that I was with my husband. And then also the second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. In that book, I talk about how it's hard to forgive yourself and move on, but you absolutely, positively must do so in order to get to the other side. And Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities, it's for young adults who are going through adversities in their lives and looking for a hand up, not a hand out. I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am also an entrepreneur. I have a company, Phenomenal Entertainment, and a nonprofit organization, Against All Odds. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Shirley. You know, so much has been going on in the atmosphere. A lot of individuals this time of year, this season, is something about the atmosphere that gets people off balance, where they become unraveled and kind of like lose their mind, and they go into a state of depression and anxiety attacks. And I don't know what it is that, you know, causes people to have more courage to take their lives than to live it during this time of year, when it says everything says 'tis the season to be jolly, when there's so many that aren't happy with their side. It's just like they become so overwhelmed. I don't know if it's because of the transitioning at the gate where we're getting ready to end one year and go into the next, and we feel like we've not accomplished anything or our goals haven't been met. But tonight, I wanted to encourage you that regardless of what it looks like, feels like, act like, we have got to push our way through. You know, our greatest breakthrough is just before we're going, while we're getting in the midst of that turmoil, where in the midst of that breaking point where we feel like everything is about to snap, like we're getting ready to lose ground. But you know, we are one step away from a breakthrough. You know, it only takes one person, one individual to speak a word, just like Jesus spoke a word, and it was so. We only need one person to believe in our dream or what we're doing. We have to believe in ourselves. But see, it starts with us. We got to believe that our life is worth living and that we have something to add to this atmosphere, to the world. And if we first have to begin with the fact that our lives are not about us. We put so much emphasis on ourselves, me, myself, and I. If we take I out of the equation and serve and do something for someone else, that'll take the pressure off of us because of the fact that we're not just so focused, so self-centered on me, 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 me. If you sow into someone else's life, you will grow. And that's what our journey is about, feeding, moving on into somebody's life. Because if you look around and see there's people that are going through far worse than you are, and they wish they had some of the things that you have, but what happens is that enemy inside, that boogeyman, puts on this show that everything is great, that everybody's surviving, everybody's doing great, everybody's doing wonderful but you. And that is not the case. Everybody's going through something. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I said, do you know there were millionaires the beginning of the year who are no longer millionaires anymore? They have lost all their resources. But you know what? Those people are still standing, and you know what they're doing now? They're focusing on the next step, the next level. They're not succumbing to the fact that, oh, I've lost everything, I've lost my money, all is lost. They are constantly working, constantly beating that pavement, trying to get to the other side. I remember over 16 years ago when I came out of my marriage, I wound up being homeless, Shirley, for 3 months, me and my four children. Had I just stayed there, had I just looked in the mirror every day saying, woe is me, I wouldn't have been able to do the things I've done or accomplish the things I have. My children wouldn't have been able to have the lives that they have had if I just sat there and did nothing and succumbed to what it looked like. By all indications, everything was gone. By all indications, I didn't even know how to get to the next level. But I knew I just couldn't stand there. I knew I had to do something. And what I did was I began doing stuff for other people. I started doing stuff for my children, seeding into them and pulling back the layers in their life. I started doing things for people that I thought were less fortunate than I was and giving them rides in my raggedy car, whereas once I had the finest of cars, I had a brand new car every year, but then when I found myself homeless, I wound up having this old raggedy Dodge Omni with the rust all in the car, and I could see the highway through my feet as I was driving, and when it was raining, the water splashed up and my pants got wet on the way to work. It was bad, but you know what? Like I told my children when we were going through that situation, when I was trying to rebuild and restructure our life, I said, this is only temporary. You know, life is like the weather. It's seasons. We transition through seasons, there's spring, summer, winter, and fall. And sometimes you may go through a hard winter, but trust me, if you buckle down and put that covering over you, which is the Holy Spirit, if you allow yourself to be embalmed with his glory and know that there is a tomorrow, you can get to the other side. Because one of my dear friends and mentor and Les Brown says, if you can look up, you can get up. And it's so true. It looks bleak. It looks hard. But if you can just rise your head and pull yourself together and comb that hair and brush your teeth, you can get to the other side. And that's what life is. It's a journey. Yes, it is hard, but it is worth it in the end. The rewards at the end are worth it. You just can't quit. You can't give up. We're in a season right now. People are saying, well, this is a merry season. This is a joyous season. The children are looking for Santa Claus. The kids are looking for the iPad and Xboxes and all this. You know, Shirley, it's amazing how people struggle all through the year, but Christmas time, they kill themselves and spend $200 and $300 on each child. If they have more than one child, they're killing themselves to make sure they get that name brand stuff. It's just something, it just baffles me. Just, you know, I used to be caught up in that too, but, you know, and my kids, they were like, you know, I was so glad to be able to go to Salvation Army and pick up a couple of toys and stuff for them because I didn't have it, but they were happy to get what we could get. And then when things got better, and even when things are better with them and with me now, you know, they don't even care or desire any of those things. They're content with what they have. Do you know we lose our mind because of things, material things that can be replaced? The only thing that can't be replaced is you.
That is so true.
And that's what we have to do. So, I was listening to my dear friend J.R. Thickland's show yesterday, and he was talking about the abuse, the domestic violence case regarding the football player and his girlfriend. And then I read in the news article today that Sunday in Philadelphia, this woman was playing the organ for the church, and her husband, they were divorced, separated, I don't know. But he walked in the church and shot her while she was playing the organ and left. And the parishioners, you know, they were trying to apprehend him and, you know, constrain him until police got there and, you know, trying to help the wife. And he turned around and went back up there to the podium where she was playing and said, I got to see her. And they thought that he had remorse. But he took the gun and shot her again. He said, I want to make sure she's dead. What is going on? What is going on here? Help me understand, Shirley.
Girl, it's, you know, like you said, it's supposed to be the season for cheer and goodwill and a happy season, a jolly season. And I honestly feel that we have disconnected from what the true season is, because it is the season of birth of Jesus Christ. But we have disconnected with things. And you talked about how, you know, as parents, you know, you see parents now struggling all year with finances and everything, but they seem to have an abundance of money to purchase all of these gadgets and electronic toys and the latest, you know, gym shoes and whatever their child's heart desires. You see some of them that are doing that, but then they're struggling all year to pay that bill off. But it's just like that, I spoke about it on several shows we've had, that instant gratification, that people gratifying to that feel-good feeling. I mean, it affects everything from our children to our own self-esteem, to our own being, that we are hungry for that gratification of feel-good. So often and so long, people have been struggling in so many different aspects, financially, emotionally, physically, that for that one moment, they want that gratification of everything is okay, I feel good. Even if it costs them another 300 days of suffering, they will take that one moment and live for that moment and not think about tomorrow, not think about next week, but for that moment. A gratification just to ease their sense of well-being, their mind, for one moment, they get to be someone else. They get to step outside of who they really are. And as a result of that, when it all hits them, you're finding that people are so disconnected that they have no issue, no second thought about taking their lives or someone else's life. Because they have totally disconnected. And, you know, you go from that one extreme, that moment of gratification, feel good and everything, to so much rage. Why is all that rage? Because of all that buildup. And then they end up exploding. And when they explode, it doesn't matter who's in the way, who it is, you know, that they're taking out. They have no disregard or no respect for a human life. Even their own, that for that moment, it is about everything is just zeroed out. They're gone. They're disconnected. They've lost their mind. They go into that one dark place, and they don't see a way out of it but to take everybody out that either, A, they feel is responsible for them being there, or B, they feel like, okay, now that I've done this, I have no need to be here. I need to leave too. Not thinking about the lives that by them doing an act of that it affects. It's more than just taking that person out or taking themselves out. You got a whole generation or a whole family or like you talked about the young man that J.R. talked about on the show. He took his girlfriend's life. They had a 3-month-old baby. He had no regard to the fact that that child would be raised or live without her parents. He had no fact or concern about the fact that his mother was in the house when he took this girl's life. It was like, I'm sorry, but I have to do this. Why? You didn't have to do that. No one has to take another person's life. That's a choice. And it's a choice because they allow themselves to go there. They allow all this stuff to build up. And they see no way out, that they get into this black hole. And then for him to go and take his life in front of his coaches and everything, he had no regards to the fact that these people are traumatized now, that they saw him take his life. you see someone take their life, you're never the same. His mother saw that young lady dying if she wasn't already dead. And then she's holding a three-month-old baby. How is she supposed to be reacting and holding this baby? And she see this girl laying here in all this blood, dying or dead. And to wonder, where's my son going? What is he going to do now? That right there all in itself, and this is his mother. And then you talked about the guy that came to the church, he was divorcing his wife or she was divorcing him or whatever the situation may be. It still involves people separating, that people have been connected and then they can't accept the separation or the disconnect. They're already disconnected. So one more disconnection and they go into that hole. And in that hole, no one's life has any value on it. No one. And, you know, so that's why I say we're forgetting the season. We have disconnected from the season. This is the season to be, to share love, to give love, receive love, and most of all, to be what God wants us to be. A helper to mankind. Because if you can help someone, give them a hand up, not a handout. Because we get into this, you know, nobody wants a handout. They want a hand up. Because you see people, they want to help themselves. But we need to get back to the basics. We have gotten so wrapped up into, as you say, stuff. Gotta have this, gotta have that. But in the end, when you leave this earth, none of that stuff is going with you. None of it. So we've devalued our lives is what we've done with stuff. Because if you look at stuff, most of the stuff that comes out in the fads and everything, even the computers and the Game Boys or whatever, the Xbox 360s and all that, they lose their value. Because a game system you bought 3 years ago and you paid $300-$400 for it, you cannot take that and say, okay, now it's 3 years old, it's more valuable. No. A month after you get it, it has lost so much value. Anything tangible.
Get it out of the store.
Right. Yeah, like a car. Once you drive it off that parking lot, that dealership lot, it has devalued. The minute you sign those papers and drive it off that property, it starts to decrease in value. But one thing, like I said, and a very important thing, is that our lives, we're starting to put our lives in the same category, devaluing ourselves, devaluing the worth of someone's life, that we have total disregard for that, and even our own lives. And that's why you're seeing so much of this homicide, suicide. They get locked in this dark space where they feel, I'm worthless without this person, so I don't want no one else to have them and value themselves. They begin to pull into this here space where, well, then neither one of us is going to be here. Oh, I'm going to take them out. They're going to leave me. Anytime you get to a point where you feel like if someone pulls away from you, leaves you, that you have no value left, you really need to step back and do a reassessment of your life. We have to get back to the basics, that our lives are valuable. God gave us breath. He gave us life. Our parents, our mother, they birthed us in this world, but if he did not give us breath, you know, when you first born, that pat on the butt to give you breath, that's God breathing into us. Because there's some babies you can pop them on the behind all you want to. They're stillborn. So don't think just because the mother gave birth to you that gave you life. God is still in there. He's in the birthing room. Just like he breathed life into man when he molded him out of clay. He breathes life into every child that's born that's still alive. Every one of them. So we got to get our value back.
I like to read up. I like to read up on individuals that are successful and doing things. And I was reading something with Michael Jordan, and he said that obstacles don't have to stop you. If you run into a wall, don't turn around and give up. Figure out how to climb it or go through it or work around it. And it's a true statement. Obstacles will come, but how
right.
we handle those obstacles is going to determine the outcome. This is Hot Topics from the Soul, and we're talking about push your way through, regardless of what it looks like, feels like, acts like. If you have a question or comment, you can press 1 at this time. The lines are open. You can press 1 if you want to join in on the conversation. We're talking about pushing your way through, regardless of the obstacles and the circumstances. You know, this light affliction, whatever we're going through, is just for a moment. It's just that when you're in the midst of it, it just seems like you just can't see your way out. You just can't see your way through. I keep referring back to the different challenges that I've gone through, and every day there's been times where I just put the cover over my head and just want to just sleep the day away. But, you know, the sun will come up and down every day. A clock can be
yeah.
stuck, and at least twice a day, that clock is going to land on the same time every day. It's going to hold that same time every day. And that's how life is. The world is going to keep turning. The world is going to keep moving with or without us. Why not join in? It's just
yeah.
like a party. It's just like a game. Join in, play, and run down that field and give it your best shot. And when you yell it to the top of your lungs, but life is not over. Life is not over, regardless of what you lost, regardless of how you may feel like giving up. Got some mail today, and I was looking through it. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be moved by this. You know, God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I can ask or think. And it's not all about me. It's what he wants to do through me. And that's what it is. God has a purpose and a plan for you. Do not rob us of your greatness. Do not rob us of your magnificence. Do not rob those people around you that love you. You're like, well, Dr. Parker, don't nobody love me. Don't nobody care. I don't hear from anybody. Nobody comes in to see me when I'm out at a function. Nobody talks to me. But, you know, if you want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly.
Yeah.
Where's your part? Why? What have you done to participate in this game we call life? Because, you know, life is just like a game. Like I said, it's just like running on the field or playing baseball, basketball. It's a game. We got to get in it. And we've got to show ourselves friendly. I invite myself over to the place. Look through the papers. Look through, go on Facebook and see who's having events and go and participate in those events. You may meet somebody. You may meet somebody to be able to go to the movies or out to dinner with, you know, and have some fun. It's up to you. If it's to be, it is up to you. It is up to me. We have to engage ourselves in life. I never thought that I would be doing what I do now. I'm actually a very quiet person. I don't talk much unless you talk to me or if I have something specifically to say. But I'm a naturally shy person. I do what I have to do. Like when I had to get out there to feed my children and put that microphone up to my mouth, I did it because I had to. When I started writing, I was driven to start writing. The first one was frightening. I didn't know what I was doing. But then after that, it was like, okay, I got the unction. You need to write this. You need to talk about this because somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to be moving this. Somebody's gone through something and want to know how to get out. So I never thought I would be doing what I'm doing. But here again, my thought process wasn't about me. My thought process and my motivation was to unction somebody else so they won't feel the way I was feeling at that time, so they won't allow themselves to succumb and pull the covers over their heads like I've done several times. But it's got to, you know, you got to press your way through. You got to push. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. This the end. You just if you just let the moon go and the sun rise up again, just don't quit. Breakthrough is coming. You're one person away from your breakthrough, but if you don't get out there and knock on some doors, if you don't get out there and participate, then your breakthrough won't come. When you're in alignment with that assignment God has for your life, you won't have to, it won't be hard because people will be coming to you. They'll be wanting to know, what can I do to help you? That's how a game works. That's how teamwork works. If you got something somebody wants, they're going to seek after you. Get involved with life. Don't shut yourself down because you've gone through a bad marriage and that individual has told you that nobody cares, nobody wants you, nobody is interested in you. I was told that lie, nobody being interested in a single woman with four children. I believe that lie. But in the midst of believing that lie, I said, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep on moving. And that's how we have to do. We've got to keep it moving. This is Hot Topics from the Soul. We're talking about push your way through. Pushing your way through the current is just like swimming. The waves may be rough. They might be tough. But if you just keep flapping, if you just keep kicking, if you just keep moving, you'll get to the other side.
Amen.
And you got to have a positive attitude. You've got to have a positive attitude and hold on for the what little mustard, what little piece of faith you have. You've got to stay positive and be persistent. Now, you can't be persistent if you got the covers over your head like I've done. You have got to pull those covers back, get up, brush your teeth, wash your face, comb your hair every day, wash your body, put on your clothes, and act like you're going somewhere, even if you don't have anywhere to go. And realize that nothing is going to happen overnight. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it does. You can walk out your door and immediately that person has been waiting on you to open that door. How many of you are sitting by the wayside with the door shut, refusing to open the door, refusing to say, hello, world, here I am? You got to be persistent, and you got to stay positive. Keep that positive attitude, like this trouble won't last always. I'm just in a storm right now. It's raining right now, but the sun is going to shine after a while. You got to keep telling yourself that. Speak to yourself, so that you can move to the next step. And you got to live life like it's your last day. You know, live every day to the fullest. You know, a lot of people can't live their life full because they don't even like themselves. And if you don't like yourself, how can you love yourself? Right. And a lot of times they don't love themselves because somebody told them that they weren't loving. Isn't it amazing, Shirley, how people allow somebody's opinion dictate who they are, dictate
yes, they do.
Their goals, it shuts them down? It's amazing.
Yeah. It's, you know, they feed into that so much that they lose, when I say they totally disconnect in who they are, because they get so consumed in what someone says about them. But, you know, one of the things I found, you know, over the years that I realized is that a lot of times, it's from even when they were a child, you hear people say, oh, they ain't going to be nothing, or they just like their daddy. You know, what does that mean to a child? And then when they grow up to be an adult, that person's opinion of them is still stuck in their head. And no matter, you know, you're going to have some of them who are going to be willing and able to reform their mind and their mindset and thinking and said, okay, they said I would never be anything, but I'm going to prove them wrong. But every child does not have that ability to do that. They have been mentally beat down so much, or it's been embedded in their head, oh, he's just a bad, butt. She's just a bad butt. She's just sassy. And then they start to internalize that, and they live out that. Well, that's what they thought they said I would be. That's what they thought I am, or that's what they said I was. And they start to live that to the fullest. And even as adults, we as adults sometimes still take on that negativity and internalize it. And sometimes unbeknownst to us, before we know it, we are reacting to what someone has said, their opinion about us. And that's why when you allow things like that to happen in your life, that's how you allow yourself to be defeated, because you don't try it because you're afraid of failure. Just like some of our greatest inventors, had they been afraid of failure, we would not have the traffic light, we wouldn't have electricity, we would not have 99.9% of the things that are invented today that we're using in everyday life, had those people not failed at some point in their life, but they continued on. They didn't allow that failure to be a blockage for them. Just like you was talking about Michael Jordan saying, an obstacle, you know, you go around it, go over it, find the way to get through it. Not that it has to be moved, but go around it, find some type of way to conquer it. That's the bottom line. And you can. And you hear those different saying, I take my lemons and I make them lemonade. Life throws, you know, gives me a lot of lemons, so I make lemonade. You find within yourself to take that negative that's coming your way and turn it into something positive. And that's why you can take some of these people's opinion of you and make it something positive. You, if you sit and think about some of the things that some of the people say, let that be your driving force and your motivator to be just the opposite of what they think. Reinvent yourself. And I know when I say that, some people are like, well, how do you do that? When you reinvent yourself, example, say you've gone to school, or even if you haven't, and your passion is helping people. If you want to be a nurse, you can't afford the nursing school, be a nurse's assistant. You're helping someone. There's the senior citizen home. You're helping someone. It's all in the field of doing something for mankind. If that is your passion, to help someone, like you, Val, you talked about you never thought you would see yourself running an organization. You went through 19 years of domestic abuse. You never thought, and when you were going through all those years of being in that position, that one day you would own an organization and you're helping someone. See, your lemons turn into lemonade. You got all flavors, but you're helping someone. Not only are you helping women that have gone through it, but you're also helping children, at-risk kids.
Absolutely.
You do the backpack, the Christmas, the toy drive. You are reaching many, many, many people, and those children one day are going to be adults, and they will remember the day that you provided backpacks for them to go to school when no one else did. They remember the day when you did a toy drive to make sure that they did have something. So all the, you know, all those things that you do, and even when you take those phone calls from total strangers and say, I need help, he's abusing me, or I have a girlfriend that's being abused, and she doesn't know where to go and where to turn. And I've known days that you got in your car, don't know anything about the people. You riding around, picking them up, taking them here, taking them there. You have no clue who you have in the car with you. All you know, it was a woman said, I need help. And you take your little self out there running around helping.
I'd rather say, yeah, me and my little self, they're like, you know, the talker. And then you say, what you going to do? I say, hey, I'm here.
But see, you have the courage to do that. You know, and I know you did not think 19 years ago that you'd be running around doing that.
Right. I think I was going somewhere. A mother was in distress with her kids, and I called you, and I said,
yes.
Shirley, I'm going such and such a place. She's like, okay. And then she was like, well, who's going with you? I said, just me by myself. Well, do you know them? No. And you going out there by yourself? Yeah.
And I'm in Michigan, look, she's calling me. I'm in Michigan, like I can, okay, Val, I'll beat you over there, I'll help you. I'm like, okay, I'm in Michigan. But at least I said, I'll dial 911 and say, look, I need the Florida police.
Yeah, I said, at least somebody will be able to give an account of where I went, what I was doing.
Yes.
Because people are trifling.
You know,
they are trifling. But it doesn't make me stop doing what I'm doing, because there is a remnant that is crying out and needs help, and it's up to us to provide that help, because everybody isn't bad.
Yeah. And I totally understand, you know, because, I speak about your situation, and then I look at mine. I have a nonprofit too, you know, and
yeah.
That, you know, and I deal with breast cancer survivors and their families. And I have a young lady now that, you know, she's going through, and she didn't want to share it with her family, and definitely not with her church family, you know. But we happen to be at the campaign office, and we sit next to each other, and we just started talking. And I know her from my church, but I didn't know she was going through. She didn't say anything to anyone. And we started talking, and we talked today, and she's been going through some things with the chemo and stuff. And I was able to give her some advice and tell her some things to look out for it and to expect, and some of the things she can do to counter some of the feelings that she was going to be having emotionally and physically. And even down to her eating, because it's so important when you're going through chemo treatment that you don't lose weight. And the doctors never told her that.
Wow.
But I told her one of the things about chemo treatment, you don't want to lose weight on chemo because it makes it so hard on the body. And it makes it hard for your body to fight and sustain. And so with me telling her about her eating habits and how to eat, little things like let your food get cold, put it in the refrigerator before you eat it. Hopefully someone else can cook, and you keep fresh air coming in your room while they're cooking, because the smell of the food will make you nauseated and sick. Because when you're taking chemo, all your senses are hyper. They're hyped up to the max. Your sense of smell, your hearing, your taste, it's at a whole different level. And she didn't understand what was going on, but when I broke it down and explained to her what these things and this is what she's going to go through and how it would level out after about the third or fourth treatment, but for a person that never experienced that, it was kind of like, what is happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
And she thanked me this evening because all the things I had told her that, and the things I told her to help and be prepared for, she said it helped her so much, because when it came, she's like, she told me this. And she remembered what I told her to do. Like, she contacted me tonight and she said, I've been experiencing a lot of all this extra saliva in my mouth, and I'm constantly spitting all day. And I said, no, you're going to get that, but it's going to go away, but it's going to last for a couple weeks. But I gave her things like saltine crackers, get the low sodium ones, because all that, you know, with the regular ones, all that salt, it would, you know, build up her sodium intake, and then she's going to be bloated. But if she gets the low sodium one, because of the saltine crackers, it would take away a lot of the moisture in her mouth. So that will help her, help balance that out. She was like, wow. So she had some, and she tried, and she texted me back and said, thank you so much. It's already working for me.
Mm-hmm.
But and so it just gave me another insight on that. How many women out there that are going through this but don't know because the doctors don't tell you that. I learn all of this stuff through trial and error and keeping a journal of what worked for me. And I've been blessed to share that with other women and men because I shared it with my brother. And he was like, he was getting so depressed and so like, is it worth it? And when I started sharing these things with him, he said, that took him through all those bad days that he was having. If something came up, he remembered what I said. He documented it, and he was like, it worked. He said, my doctors, they never told me to expect this. They never told me to try this or do these things. And I'm like, if they've never experienced it, how would they know?
You know, I'm so glad that you're sharing that, Shirley, because, you know, this show reaches thousands of people, and I can only imagine how many people are listening that are going through it, experiencing this, because, you know, a lot of people take their lives because they're afraid of the pain, they're afraid of the process, the healing process. And it frightens them so because the world has said, you're going to go through this and you're going to look like this and you're never going to be normal again. You're never going to be able to be restored. So why don't you just end it now? And it's a lie. It's a lie that the enemy, like I said, that boogeyman inside tells you to make you give up for you to lose hope. This is why you were able to go through the many, many, many obstacles in your body, in your marriages and stuff, is so that you can have something to say on Hot Topics from the Soul for someone who was listening. And somebody is listening is going through domestic violence right now, and they don't know what to do. And somebody has said to you, "You're crazy. You're stupid. I wouldn't take that." But you know, you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. When you're in the midst of a storm, it's very difficult to see yourself when you're in that zone. Can you imagine when it's raining real hard and the water's pouncing down on you and it's real cold and your vision is blurred? That's how it is when you're facing opposition. You cannot see. You can't get focused because you're grasping at so many different things. You're trying to keep the water from emerging over you. You're trying to get visual so that you can see where to go. You're trying to keep your composure so you can stand up. But the wind and the rain is pounding. That's how life is when you're in the midst of the storm. It's hard to feel your way through. And as I said, the enemy will say to you that just cash in. Don't rob us of your greatness. Please don't rob us of your greatness. Replay the show. Send the show to somebody that may be going through something. And most of all, like I say to people, don't just like say, well, I'm going to pay attention to my family and stuff. Watch and as well as pray. Pay attention to what people aren't saying. Because there are people broken, people hurting, and they don't know how to open their mouth and say, I'm dying inside, help me. They don't know how to open their mouths and say, I feel so all alone, I don't know what to do. This is where we have to be watchful. We have to pay attention to people. You know, you all the time when someone commits suicide, didn't you see the warning signs? Didn't you see? Well, no, if you're not looking, if you're not paying attention, if somebody says I'm hurting, you'd be like, oh, girl, child, please, you'll be all right. Oh, I'm sorry, please. Don't be a bitch on there. Just go on and sit down somewhere. Tragedy happens because a lot of times we blow off when they have the courage to say I'm hurting and we blow them off. Pay attention this holiday. Love on somebody this holiday. And every day, don't let it just be this time, but every day. But I'm putting emphasis on right now because it's very crucial this time of year. People are going through because they lost their parents and they feel, you know, like they just can't get a grip. Invite somebody over that you know is single and that they're by themselves. Go visit some elderly people that are by themselves where the families don't visit them. Nobody comes to visit them. Pay attention. Please pay attention.
So true. Because there's always someone that you can reach out to. You know, and it doesn't, you know, this is the season, like I said, to help someone. And even if you did something simple like make some Christmas cards, you know, or dollar store got all kind of stuff that you can make all sorts of things. You can make garlands. You know, you can make, you know, use candy canes and put a bow on them and give them as a gift. It's not how much you spend on the gift, it's the thought behind it. If you take the time, buy a roll of that ribbon and tie a little ribbon around candy canes and pass them out to someone. And it takes them back to the simple things in life, when life was simple. And it wasn't about that you spent all of this and you spent all of that. And that's why you see some people doing the Secret Santa and stuff. It's the little things. And then, you know, go back even further. Like, pull out, you know, if you got a computer and everything, pull up old Christmas songs. Do some caroling. It's not out of style, as they say. It's not flashback. It still happens. It still brings joy. Take the time to even make a little CD for someone. These are little simple things that you can do. You can get a pack of CDs now at the Staples or wherever for about $9, you get 100 of them. And then if you decide to download some songs and everything, put a Christmas CD together and give those out.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's simple things you can do. Because if you give those, you know, you give those out to someone and everything, it is so simple. And they can plant in their homes during the holidays. You got family, you're like, oh, I got so many people in my family. I want to give them something, but I don't have the money. Simple things. And that's something the whole family, they can say, they, you know, if they got a computer, they can play it. They don't have to have a stereo or CD player. They have a computer or DVD player, they can play it and listen to the caroling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's back to the simple. Keep it simple. Go to the dollar store, buy some of that little tissue paper, put that little CD in there, wrap it up, and here you go. From my heart to yours.
I had a friend that was actually a millionaire. I mean, he was a millionaire. And I was talking to him last year, and I was saying to him, I was like, wow, things have really gotten tight. I said, you know, I've made an awful lot of money, and I said, I've spent it all. I said, I'm broke. And he was like, how could you be broke all that money you've made? I said, well, I said, I got seeds to show for it. I said, I've sown into people's lives, and people have gotten education. And I said, one thing about it, I said, when I get old, like I just said to even my children, I said, y'all remember me now because I'm going to be old. I'm going to need you to look after me. I said, so I invested my money in my future. And, you know, he was like, but I just don't understand. I said, well, life happens. Life happens to us all. I said, but, you know, when we can say that we've done something with our lives that wasn't just about us, I said, it makes it all worth a living. And I got word the day I was talking with you, Shirley, and I was saying, do you know so-and-so that we was talking? And you were like, yeah. And I said, well, you know, he was really reeling me and saying, you know, how could you not have all the millions of dollars you made? How could you not have money? I said, guess what? He don't have no money now. I said, he has our money, and he was a million. He had money. He had more money than me. I said, but life happens. And I said, and one thing I know of a surety, that's why, see, I've lost everything before. I was homeless, you know, when we was there living from pillar to post in that garage, me and my kids living on the mattress, you know, in a damp, cold garage and riding around in a raggedy car. I said, you know, it wasn't that bad because we had each other. I said, but one thing is for surety that I knew when I had money, I made sure I sowed and planted in the seeds and gave and laid the foundation, because those same people you meet going up, you're going to meet them on the way down, because not everybody sometimes that you sow into take advantage of the seeds that you sowed into their life. They're still stagnant, still in the same place you left them. But then at least if they see you down there, you can say, hey.
I know, that's right.
And there'd be no shame in your game. So, you know, don't allow your circumstances to cause you to shrivel up and die or feel like you want to die just because. Don't allow that to overwhelm you to the point where you forget to breathe. Take your breath, inhale, breathe. It is a wonderful thing to still be alive. And even if you're going through things in your physical body, you know, as Shirley was talking about how she went through her transition with cancer, she had lupus and all that working and going on at the same time. And she remembered to breathe. And she's still here and she's doing things. She's writing books. She has a foundation. She has an entertainment company. She has a courier service because she dared to breathe.
Yeah.
And I'm saying to you, remember to breathe. I was talking to Dr. Lavinia Allen today, and she said, hey, sis, how you doing? I said, I'm remembering to breathe. And she said, what? I said, I'm remembering to breathe.
I know that's right.
This light affliction is but for a moment. Joy cometh in the morning.
Yes,
indeed it does. So I am happy to be here still breathing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we're entering into Christmas, is a couple of weeks away, and then the New Year's, you know, we always make a New Year's resolution and saying we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that again, and we find ourselves doing the same old thing. Yeah, people are saying they want to lose weight. I've been making resolutions. I want to gain some. So, you know, we all make these little promises and things to ourselves, and we don't always measure up. But just remember to breathe and enjoy life and celebrate it and thank God for people you have around you. And when you meet strangers, don't treat them as a stranger. And remember to watch and look and listen and pay attention to individuals, because that hug could save their life. That hug could give them a hand up. That hug can help them move on to their destiny just simply because you acknowledge it. And you know, it's great to be acknowledged. You know, I like telling people they're beautiful queens and kings in the earth, because even if you don't feel like it at that time, if you're reminded of who you can be, it's worth it all. I can do this. I can achieve it. I can be it. Because we're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. He didn't make anybody that was junk. Everybody has a purpose. There's a plan for us all, even if it is to ignite a flame into us. That's what the plan is about. So as we journey on and we get ready to wrap up this show for the night, push. Push your way through the storm, the wind, the rain, push. And by all means, while you're waddling and flapping your hands and your feet and pushing to go forward, don't give up. Do not quit. And remember to be patient, because whatever situation we're in, we didn't get there overnight. So, it's going to take some time to get out of some of the things that we've gotten ourselves into. But it's only for a moment. This light affliction is only for a moment. And you know what? You know what's so fascinating about it all, Shirley?
Where we are
sometimes is just where God wants us to be. Because if we're somewhere else, we won't be able to hear him. And sometimes he has us in a place just so we can hear him.
Yeah.
What is he saying? Who is he speaking to tonight? I believe God has the answer. If you just listen, he will send someone to you to speak that word and shift, cause a shift instantaneously in your life. Remember, you're only one person away from your breakthrough.
Yeah.
And that breakthrough can be right now.
Yes. Amen.
Any closing remarks, Shirley?
I just want to say to everyone that is listening that whatever you do, start thinking about getting back to the basics. Do simple things. Make it your goal that you will find one simple thing to do each and every day during this holiday season. Keep it simple. Love, give love, and most of all, allow God to come into your heart and love you unconditionally.
Thank you so much. It is indeed all about love. It's the love we share, the love we give, the love we take. But one thing I know for sure, which was the first thing I inscribed when I was beginning to write From the Soul of a Woman, Love, Share, and Hurt, I said, love affects our past, our present, our future. It's an emotion, a gift given to us from God, and it should never, ever hurt. I invite you to visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and you can order one of my books there, and you could purchase it through PayPal from www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And also, if you have any questions or comments, you can email me at soultopics@gmail.com. soultopics@gmail.com if you wish me to talk about a topic. And because one thing I say on the show, that Hot Topics from the Soul is a lifeline to the community, and we want to hear your voice. We want you involved. We want to hear what you're saying, because what you say could be the lifeline that will save someone else's life. Until next Tuesday, invite a friend. You can go replay the show at any time on blogtalkradio.com/soultopics. Share it with a friend, email it to a friend, and I'll see you next Tuesday. God bless. Good night.
Good night.